You're listening to Sports Medicine Weekly with Steve Cashel and Dr. Brian Cole on ESPN 1000.
Back on the Saturday morning, and our website is sportsmedicineweekly.com. We're talking about concussions, had some really good stuff from the coach, Mike Ditka, in our last couple of segments. Last segment talking about concussions. With us now is Dr. Kathy Weber, Rush University Medical Center, Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, and a team physician for the Bulls, White Sox, DePaul University, and the Chicago Forest, to further our conversation about concussions. And Dr. Weber, thanks for being with us. Talk first, if you can, about the basis. What is a concussion? How does a concussion occur?
A concussion is basically anything that causes trauma to your brain and causes an alteration in your mental status. It can happen from a lot of different things. The ones we think about in sports is related to head trauma, from either a head-to-head contact or hitting your head, maybe into a goalpost, but it's basically trauma to the brain.
One of the things that we have to deal with is how to get a player back to play, and there's been probably some of the most evolutionary decision-making in this area. Can you bring us up to date now how we make these decisions on the court or on a playing field following a concussion?
Well, first of all, it's very important to make a good assessment. And so you want to bring the player out of the arena and into a quiet environment so that you can really evaluate their mental status. We do a thorough evaluation of their mental status, their neurological function, and then we make a decision, did they have a concussion or not? Once we've made that decision, they're pulled from the game.
What are the basic things that you'll pick up that make you have that diagnosis of a concussion?
Well, typically it's the way that they're answering questions or the lack of ability to answer questions. So we ask them specific things. Sometimes it's as easy as the reverse months backwards, some simple mathematical questions, things that we expect them to be able to answer. There are certain guidelines and different testing tools that we use that we can use to help us make a rapid assessment.
So typically how long will it take you to make that diagnosis?
If I know the player well, it can be a few minutes. If it's a player that I don't know as well, sometimes it takes me a little longer to make that assessment. But I think the important thing is that it's not the absolute right then and there diagnosis. It can occur over time. So if your suspicion is there, you should pull the player and reevaluate them frequently.
And then getting them back to play. Let's talk about that.
Well, it's important that the concussion has to clear. So we want to make sure that all the symptoms are gone.
Headache, for example?
Headache, dizziness, lightheadedness, balance issues, irritability, lack of ability to sleep. Those kind of things are very common symptoms. Once those have cleared and the athlete feels that they're back to their baseline and your neurological assessment is back to baseline, then we will sometimes do an additional test. And if they're back at the baseline, then we return them to a protocol where they begin activities at a very graded level under controlled situations. And if they have symptoms, they get pulled back. If they have no symptoms, then they get advanced to the next level.
And they have to be asymptomatic for 24 hours, is that right?
Yes.
And then tolerate that increasing level of activity without any recurrent symptoms like headache, concentration, any of those things.
Absolutely.
And then finally, medications. What are the things we can give people who have a concussion safely to temper some of the symptoms?
Well, you know, medication should always be given by a physician that knows concussion. I mean, typically we'll allow them to take acetaminophen or Tylenol, but we limit some of the medications because we don't want to cloud their brain and make them appear to be still concussed.
Our topic is concussions with Dr. Kathy Weber, Rush University Medical Center, Midwest Orthopedics at Rush. I'm Steve Cashel, along with Dr. Brian Cole. And Doc Weber, let's talk, if we can, about why we're hearing about concussions these days. I mean, it's scaring the football parents out there, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's prevalent everywhere. We saw it with Taj Gibson of the Bulls. What had happened in basketball, it happens in baseball, it's happening in more sports. Why are we seeing it more and more often?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. One, people are more educated, so they're looking for it. So if it's being reported, it's being looked for, we're going to see higher numbers of it. Also, the professional sports have really brought it to the forefront and really made people aware, as well as the media has, that this really is a serious issue. It's not as simple as saying you tore your ACL and you're out of the game. This is a brain injury, and sometimes it's not diagnosed or not told to someone that it's going on. But I think people are becoming more aware that it's important to actually diagnose it.
Where are we with this association with delayed brain injury that Coach was talking about before in terms of the development of Alzheimer's or dementia over time?
Well, one of the things that we know is that, you know, if you've had a concussion, the risk of concussion, again, can be higher. And the professional athletes that are having multiple concussions, there's something called chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It's basically a brain injury that over time they start to get some, the brain becomes a little smaller. And we know that the brains that have been looked at in the NFL do have this. And so it's thought to be from repetitive trauma. Not everybody that's had multiple concussions will develop this, but there is definitely an entity.
The repetitive trauma issue is if they, we believe anyway, that it's safe to go back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that minimizes the chance of repetitive trauma. It's when we put someone back who still has symptoms that poses the highest risk. Is that fair to say?
Well, it poses higher risk for post-concussive syndrome and reoccurrent issues, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to end up with this early dementia.
Dr. Weber? Fantastic. We appreciate your time on this Saturday morning. And I know a subject we can talk about, and we will, as this show develops for us. So thanks so much for your help.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Kathy Weber, Rush University Medical Center, Midwest Orthopedics at Rush. And we're back with more Sports Medicine Weekly
on ESPN 1000.